We're going to take our text from the 69th Psalm, and while you're turning, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. We say it often. I know that's how we open most services. But Lord, we truly are thankful that you allow us the privilege to come together and have our minds focused on you. That through the songs and through the word of testimony and through your word, we can get refocused and be strengthened on our journey to heaven. Help us this morning by your Holy Spirit to speak and to hear that which you'd have us to. Strengthen us, encourage us today, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. This has been, 2020 has been quite a year, right? I mean, there's been lots of changes, lots of things going on, still lots of stuff up in the air. And in because of all that and the pressures it's brought and everything, we have been made very aware that we are in a battle. Amen? A spiritual battle. Both externally and internally, we're made aware that we're in a spiritual battle. And our battles internally are just part of a bigger battle, or actually a war that's going on. It's between good and evil, but much more specifically than that, it's between Christ and Satan. That's the battle that's going on for hearts and minds and lives in our present time. That's really the big picture of what's going on in creation right now. The big picture is there's a battle between Jesus Christ and Satan for the hearts and minds of men and women. That's what's going on. That's what's been carried out in the middle of everything else. Sometimes that battle's intense. Sometimes it's real close to home. Amen? And a lot of times, we just get tired of the battle. Well, I know about you. I was going to say I don't know about you, but I know about me. But I do know about you too, because we're all pretty well alike. We get tired of the battle, just tired of the fight, just weary of it. Amen? And when we get there, we're tempted to give in, to quit fighting, as if that's going to make the battle go away. But Satan tempts us, just give up, just give in, quit the battle. I chose Psalms, the 69th Psalm this morning, first three verses. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat's dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. I was reminded of the third verse this morning in prayer, where it said, I'm weary of my crying. I've cried myself out. My throat's dry. My eyes fail while I wait for God. You ever been there? You may be there right now. The battle's got long. And sometimes the disappointment and discouragement that comes along with the battle can become as big a challenge as the battle itself, as big a challenge as the trial itself. Amen? And we can get tired of waiting on God, grow weary of waiting for the answer that we seek. I think one of the biggest tests of our Christian faith is the discouragement that comes from long trials or a series of trials. You know, sometimes it may not be one long trial. It just seems you go from one fire to the next. You know, you get this and it just piles up. The discouragement of waiting a long time to find deliverance from God. But we're encouraged to hold on to God through prayer until the victory comes. To stay steady even though the battle grows long. And that's what I want to encourage you this morning. If you don't take anything else away, hang in there. That's the message. Hang in there because God is faithful. God will be faithful. Amen? God is currently faithful. He's not waiting to be faithful. God is currently faithful, and we will see that He's faithful. Amen. I want to encourage us this morning, hang in there. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. He's promised to come. The Hebrew writer was writing to ones under persecution. He said, don't throw away your confidence. That's the confidence in God, your confidence and faith and trust in God, your confidence in God's love, your confidence in God's faithfulness. He said, don't throw it away. It has a great reward. What lies ahead is far greater than anything we're facing in this earth. Amen. The reward, it's worth the reward. But he says you have need of patience, so that after you've done the will of God, you can receive that which is promised. Not always is the reward instant upon doing what God promised. You may be doing what God promised, and the reward is yet a little ways out. Amen?
Amen.
I think patience and long-suffering are probably the two most difficult virtues to attain in this Christian life. Because you can't fake them very well. Amen? Patience and virtue, to where we really do, patience and long-suffering rather, where we really are willing to wait God's time and maintain our confidence and faith in Him in the midst of adversity, in the midst of pain and trial, to maintain our confidence in Him and our faith in Him. God will come. God does not unnecessarily delay. Hear me. God is not arbitrary. I hear people say stuff all the time that indicates God just does what He wants because He can. God never does anything arbitrary. God doesn't do things just because He can. God always has good, just, holy reasons for everything He does. That's the only way He remains perfectly holy. Amen? He does what is absolutely right to be done all the time. Amen. And taking in everything God knows, and He knows everything, the whole of all His knowledge, the whole of His love, the whole of His fairness and justice, God makes the decisions. Amen? Therefore, if there's a delay in bringing the answer, while we may never understand it, while we're here, we may never have sufficient knowledge or sufficient wisdom to understand God's timing, yet God's timing remains perfect. Amen? God encourages to hold on to Him, to keep trusting, even though the battle may be long and we get tired. Luke 18:7 said, "Shall not God avenge His own elect?" Now think about that. His own elect. I like the Hebrew, or Luke rather. This is actually Jesus talking. But I like His wording. He called us His elect. You know what that means? That's a phrase used in the Bible to indicate God chose us. God chose you. Now, in one sense, we choose Him. But God came looking for you, not the other way around. God chose you. And He says, "Shall not God avenge His own elect, which call to Him day and cry unto Him day and night, though He bear long with them?" He's saying, does it not make sense? If God's, they're His own elect, they're His chosen, will He not avenge them? Even though they're crying day and night, even though it takes a long time, though He bear long with them, He says, "I tell you, He'll avenge them speedily." What's that mean? He bears long, but it's been speedily. That means He answers as quickly as it is right to answer. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Nevertheless, if God delays because it's the best in the big picture of things, will He find faith in your and my life? Amen? He says, "I'll tell you, He'll avenge them speedily." Again, God always acts as quickly as it's right to act. We have to have that confidence in Him, folks. We have to have that confidence that God doesn't only does what's right, He does it when it's right to do it. Amen? Everything He does is right. God never delays longer than it's right, even though it may seem longer than it's right to us and may seem like a very long time. God never delays longer than is absolutely right. Our danger isn't that God will fail us. Our danger isn't that God will prove unfaithful. Our danger is that often we're tempted to give up during the waiting. Yeah. Amen? Because the answer is sure if we don't give up.
Amen.
Amen? So, the danger is not in God not answering. The danger in us is growing weary, getting tired of waiting, and giving up. Galatians 6:9 said, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." The reaping is sure if we don't give up. So don't grow weary. Don't get tired and give up. Amen? That's the message. Don't get tired and give up. Oh, you're going to get tired. Amen? If you ain't, you will. You're going to get tired. You're going to grow weary at times. You're going to, at times, be very frustrated. But don't give up. First of all, let's not grow weary in our prayers. One of the first dangers of getting tired is getting tired in our prayers. Faith is necessary to real prayer. Faith is an expectant trust in God. You don't really pray and ask things of God if you don't have an expectant trust in Him answering that. And as time goes on and it grows long, the danger is that we'll grow tired and it will affect our faith. Amen? Hope's necessary to faith. Maintain your faith and hope in God. That means continue to expect God to answer you. Continue to hope for that answer. Amen? Because discouragement and time in a battle or a series of battles causes discouragement. And that discouragement can cause us to both doubt and lose hope. Step one, in the face of difficulties and disappointments, maintain your prayer life. Maintain your private prayer life. Unanswered prayers can make us grow weary in our prayers, and then we're tempted to give up and tempted to quit praying. Remember where I just read you in Luke, the 18th chapter? The beginning of that parable, he says, he told them a parable to the effect they ought always to pray and not lose heart, not give up. That was the whole purpose. The whole purpose was that he said God's going to avenge His own elect which cry day and night to Him, even though it may take a while. He's going to do it as quickly as is right, yet we're in danger of losing our faith. Amen? Listen, mark this down in your memory someplace. Delay is not desertion. Delay is not desertion. Delay doesn't mean God has given up, that God's quit, that God's not going to fulfill His promises. Amen? As I said before, God is always on time. Not on our time, but He's always on time. Ask, Matthew 7:7. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Don't grow weary in your prayers. Amen? Don't lose hope for the answer. Don't lose that time of close fellowship with Him. That ought to be of the heart of our Christian life, is a time of close fellowship with Him. That means in trouble, run to Him. In good times, run to Him with a thankful heart. But in trouble, run to Him. Psalm 62 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. Flee to Him in the difficult times. Stay on Him. So first of all, don't grow weary in your prayers. That private time with God is your lifeblood spiritually. And then secondly, don't grow weary in living right. We're all tempted when things go bad to say, poor us, poor me. We're tempted to look around and see everybody else that's living however they want to and seem to be doing great. tempted to say, huh, you know, what's the use? You know, I deserve a break. I should be able to do this. I should be able to do that. Behold, Psalm 73 and 12. These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Now here's David saying the same things we're tempted to say when life don't go right. Yeah. Amen? Woe is me. Here I am trying to do what's right and everything's going wrong and there's those around me that are getting rich and prospering, not a care in the world about what's right and wrong. Don't let Satan lie to you. Sometimes in the difficulties of life, we can begin to question the value of really living all out for God, really living to please God with our whole heart. We're tempted to take a easier path, to draw back, take more to ourselves, go through the motions still religiously, but not be all out for God. Tempted to say, what's the point of really living a close life? It doesn't matter. You know, here I am trying to do everything that's right and everything goes wrong and these over here ain't doing half what they ought to be doing and life's going good for them. Well, two or three things that's wrong in that analysis, but we're going to stay with this point. Don't throw away your confidence, which has great reward. If you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Don't be worrying about how things are going for everybody else. If you would have read the rest of that 73rd Psalm, David said, hey, then I considered the end of their ways when I went up to the temple. When he went up to pray, he considered the end and he said, man, that ain't worth it. And that's the way we ought to evaluate things too. Amen? Don't grow weary in your prayers. Don't grow weary in living right. And then don't grow weary in your service to God. This is one I think has impacted many, many people today. More and closer to home than what we might want to say. We can become weary in our service for the Lord. But again, Galatians says, don't go weary in well-doing. We're going to reap in due season if we don't give up. He goes on in the next verse and says, as ye have therefore opportunity, let's do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. We owe one another something. Our mutual participation in this great salvation brings us into a unique relationship as brothers and sisters with one another in the household of God. And we owe something to one another. Amen? We're not lone rangers out here. We're part of the family of God. And we have an obligation to one another. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good, especially those of the household of faith. Mark 9:41 says, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Ecclesiastes 11:6, then in the morning then, sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, whether they both shall be alike good. So don't get tired in praying. Don't get tired of living right. Don't grow weary in your service to God by serving others. Going to finish with four suggestions. Advice. Maybe more than suggestion. First of all, make a conscious effort to continue to rely on God. And I say make a conscious effort to continue to rely on God. These are not ordinary times. These are not ordinary battles. And the ordinary means that many have lived the Christian life with are not going to prove sufficient for the times we're in. Make a conscious effort to rely on God. He's where our strength comes from, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. He's where our help comes from in every part of life. Amen? He's where our courage comes from when life seems overwhelming. Because the truth is, there's some things in this life that me and you are not sufficient for. We ain't up to it. Amen? Unless we have God's help, we will become overwhelmed with what's going on in life. Run to him. Flee to him. Sometimes Satan's able to disappoint us and say, God should have done better, could have done better, should have answered by now. And we're tempted to draw back a little bit in our self-pity. Don't do it. Run to him. Flee to him. He is our refuge. He's our place of safety. He's our strength. Without that, we will not survive the battle, folks. We will not survive this without him. Psalm 62:5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone's my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I'll not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Don't neglect your time with God in times like this. Should never, but I tell you what, our spiritual life hangs in the balance sometimes on these decisions. Do not neglect your time with God. Maintain your time alone with God. Flee to him. Confide in him. Cling to one like you'd cling to a life raft in the middle of a raging storm at sea. If the ship went down and you got a life raft to hang on to, cling to God like you would that life raft. Because I tell you what, it's even more important than that life raft spiritually. Learn to take your burdens to him and let him carry them. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you. Learn to really give them to him. Not just to say, hey, if you want to help, I'm dealing with this, and continue to carry your own burden. Give it to him. If you've already done what you know to do, what more are you going to do? Huh? Do what you know you ought to do, and then leave it with God. That's the privilege of knowing God. That's the privilege of having a God. Once you give it to him, once you've done what you know to do, give it to him. Trust him. We are a people who have all of our eggs in one basket. Amen? If God proves wrong, we are in trouble. Amen? We have a Heavenly Father who truly cares about us, truly loves us. So run to him. Stay on him. Rely on him. Trust in him. No matter what. Because he will never fail. First, make a conscious effort to rely on God and trust him. Secondly, continue to do what you know is right. Amen. Don't be tempted to take things back to yourself. If you're not fully clear with God on it, leave it there. Continue to live as you believe God would have you to live. And then third, this is a toughie. Learn to live in today. Don't fight tomorrow's battles today. If you've done what you know to prepare and done what you know to do, leave tomorrow to tomorrow. You may not even have tomorrow, folks. Yeah. Amen? You got enough to deal with today. God's grace is sufficient for today. He didn't promise grace sufficient for today and tomorrow's worries. He said it's enough for today. Most of us have enough to be happy today. Most of us have plenty enough to be thankful for that we ought to be enjoying life today. Amen? Don't let Satan take the fears of tomorrow and rob you of the joys of today and this salvation. That's the privilege of living for God. Just like the manna fell in Israel day by day, God's promises are just as sure to take care of us day by day. If you've collected the manna for today, then get on with living today. Amen? If you have the health and strength to get out of bed, do what you ought to today. Amen? Enjoy today. Now, I don't mean quit work and hope everything goes well. You still need income. You still need to do. But it does mean that most of us have things we can enjoy, and too much of our enjoyment is being robbed by our worry about what might happen later. Amen? Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen? This Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of trusting God day by day. Amen? We're not orphans out on the street having to fend for ourselves, folks. We have a Heavenly Father. We have one who's promised to look out for us. And we still need to do what we know we ought to do. But we don't have to worry like those who don't have a God, like those who don't know God. Psalms 127:1 reminds us, it says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." It's vain. The vain means useless, by the way. It's useless for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know what I'm saying? If you could have fixed it, you already would have. Those things we worry about, if you could have, so why are you still worrying about it? Unless God takes care of it, it ain't going to be taken care of anyhow. Amen? So, when you've done what you know you ought to do, leave it with God. Live with a confident expectation in God. Amen? Live with a confident expectation in God. Live today. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't plan for the future. It doesn't mean you should. But what I really mean is, most of us, God's grant is sufficient for today to be able to enjoy today and to be able to do those things we ought to do. So don't let Satan use tomorrow's worries to rob you of today. The God that was faithful today will be faithful tomorrow. And then finally, the final point is something practical. Take care of yourselves physically. Amen? Eat right, get your sleep. Get some exercise, move around. Because your physical will affect your mental and your spiritual. You hear me? Your physical does affect your mental and your spiritual. Eat right. And I need this one myself because I'm a foodie. I love it. And I know what's good and what's bad for me. And sometimes I don't maintain a black and white line on those things. Amen? I'm tempted. But, and by the way, God didn't promise miracles for our neglect and abuse. Amen? If I know things raise my blood sugar and I eat them anyhow, God has not promised me that he would protect me from that. Even if I did bless it before I ate it, he still has not made that promise. So, eat right, exercise, move around, and don't cheat your sleep. This is one of the things that really bothers me. I see people worried and they stay busy all day, but then nighttime comes and their heads are full of stuff, they can't sleep. Don't let Satan do that to you. We have a God. It's one of the great advantages of trusting him. Turn it over to him. You need 8 hours of sleep. People, some can get by at the margin, some require more, but generally speaking, and I've read scientific study after scientific study after scientific study, and people do best mentally and physically when they get approximately 8 hours of sleep pretty consistently. So don't cheat it. Amen? Jesus even sought physical rest on many occasions where he got away and had to take a break to rest. It's not wrong to get away from normal life every now and then. Take a break. If you're able to get out of town, get out of town. If you're not, turn your phone off, turn everything else off, lock the doors, and take a break. Amen? I know that's not always completely possible, but much as it is, you need to rest and get your head off of things sometimes. Get your body rested, your head rested. You better able, equipped even spiritually to deal with things in life. Amen? I read a quote someplace that cheating sleep is like living off credit cards. It feels good for may feel good for a while, and you may look like you beat the system, but at some point, it all comes back around. Amen? I want to encourage you. I know some of you, in all seriousness, are tired. Tired mentally, tired emotionally, tired physically, tired spiritually from the battles. It's been a hard year. Some of you had battles that stretched out before we ever got into this foolishness of 2020. Amen? Some of us have battles we'd have had if nothing else was going on in the economy and politics and every place else. But God knows all about it. We are a people who have chosen to believe God. We're called believers because we've chosen to believe what God said is true. And that doesn't just mean chose to believe that he died on the cross. That's the starting point. We believe that. But that's the only way you can be saved, is believe and have faith and trust your salvation to his death on the cross. But we also have all the rest of life that we live. It said this life is a life of faith, right? We continue, we begin in faith, we continue in faith. That means all of our life is an expectant trust in God. Our life will be happier. Our life will be better. Our witness will be brighter the more we learn to reject worry and really have faith in God. Amen? I know you're tired, but hang in there. God does give strength. There is relief in just leaving it with Him, all of it with Him. Amen? And that's what I wanted to encourage you this morning. The battle may be long. You may be getting tired. You may be very weary. I read David. Man, he said, I've cried till there ain't no more tears to cry. My throat's burned up. I'm in trouble. You may be there. Some of God's greatest saints recorded in His Word hit that occasionally. But they didn't stay there. Nor can we. We have to rely on Him, flee to Him, continue to do what we know is right with an expectant confidence that He will come through just like He has always in the past. He'll come through again. Amen? May God bless you. As you stand, we close in a verse of song.